Aren't, like, ice cream places getting worse?
Yeah, kind of.
Like, the modern, like, are we have a bunch of interesting flavors, ice cream places.
Are you talking about chains or just,
like one-offs? Your local, like, oh, we have, like, Fruit Loops and, like, whatever, and we're trendy. Like, those type of ice cream places.
Yeah.
I feel like they're getting pretty bad.
It depends on what you mean is bad. The ice cream itself is consistently good, in my opinion. When you go to one of these expensive, I shouldn't even say expensive, but more expensive.
More expensive than a Baskin Robbins or whatever.
Ice cream places, you'll probably have a good scoop of ice cream. Mm-hmm. You'll be like, this tastes better than the average scoop of ice cream. But yeah, it feels like the only one that I know that is good and has been consistently good was there's one in Vancouver called Earl's.
Earl's? Not the restaurant.
No, I think it's called Earl's Ice Cream. Or is it Ernest?
Oh, Ernest sounds right.
Okay, it's Ernest. Ernest Ice Cream, that one's good. What? And it has a decent amount of flavors. You can buy by the pint.
I think someone told me about... So, I was talking to a coworker about ice cream.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like saying how I went to Banter in Chilliwack. There's one in Abbotsford too. I don't know if there's any more.
I've never heard of this.
Okay, it's Banter ice cream. People like it. It is what you think it is of the trendy bunch of 20-year-olds running an ice cream shop, and they like, oh, we have
this one's got alcohol in it.
We don't serve vanilla. We serve cream.
Vanilla bean.
They literally said we don't have vanilla. We have sweet cream. I was like, right. Okay. I did get vanilla or sweet cream, I should say. But anyways, it you know, our menu, we use Scrabble letters for the menu. And right. we have a like no seating inside. We have like a bench, you know.
You know, that part's
that
fair
part's
to
fine.
Me.
It's to go.
Most people aren't like, let's get ice cream and eat it in.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
They were between a like herbal shop and a rock climbing gym.
Love it.
That was in Chilliwack. Anyways, but like, we went there and I was like, I love ice cream. Like going to a new ice cream place is always a fun time because you get to see what they did, what different flavors they have. And we walked in, and I was like, I guess all ice cream places are doing the same thing,
right? They are doing the same, like, ooh, that's a wacky, interesting flavor, but every single one's doing it.
Yeah,
it's and, like, it, and there's it's always like, a cereal flavor.
Yeah, always a cereal, always like a cafe like London Fog or a cold brew, you know.
There's probably a lavender.
Yeah, lavender. Well, the like interesting flavors are like we've kind of seen all the interesting flavors
only,
at this point.
So I was in Hawaii. Cool. Look
That's
at me.
Great.
I'm great. And I can't remember if it was gelato or ice cream.
Okay.
But this is like the last place where I was like, whoa, these flavors are wild and wacky and good.
Mm-hmm.
So they had like lemongrass and turmeric and then like pistachio and rose water.
Okay.
And it was like, whoa, these are all like weird and interesting and all like a mix of flavors.
Yeah.
But since then, it's been like, there's also one place, it's, I don't even know if you can say it's in Vancouver, but it's got like 200 flavors.
Okay.
It's a gelato place. That place is the only place right now where I'm like, if you want to go and try interesting flavors, they have like peanut butter curry flavored ice cream.
Peanut butter curry.
And it's actually good. It's not just like, try this wacky, like goof meme flavored ice cream. It's like, whoa, that is peanut butter, and it's, you can taste the like curry seasoning.
Interesting.
But it's actually kind of good.
Mm.
I had like a ricotta cheese one, which was amazing.
Okay. All right. Mm.
But But yeah, I agree with you. Every single ice cream place is popping up and they're like, let's do a cereal. Let's do a tea. And yeah, thinking exactly. that they're the most original, coolest place.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
yeah. We're going to make sure there's vegan options. We're going to make sure.
No. So I see that. And then are you seeing the like pushback against that now?
No.
It's so interesting to me. It's like, a small shop, but it looks trendy, but it doesn't have those options.
Mm.
And like, it feels like a deliberate push against that.
We use real fat. We
yeah, kinda.
We like, use real dairy and like, you know.
Yeah, like I've seen places that like, it's like, do you have anything? And they're completely unapologetic and they just go, nope. But it's like,
I'm into that.
Okay.
So you were saying Ernest. I don't know if it's the same place, but when I talked to my coworker about ice cream,
mm-hmm.
he mentioned a place. He said it was in Vancouver. I don't know if it was Ernest, but what he was talking about was how, well, I was like, oh, do they have interesting flavors and stuff? He's like, actually, no. They had like vanilla and chocolate and pistachio, and it was like they were all of really high quality. You know,
no, the Ernest had some, it had like Earl Grey and
okay.
It had one time it had like a honey bourbon.
Yeah. He said it was like, they had the like standard, like maybe it was somewhere else then. But anyways, I was like, I kind of respect that of like, yeah. We have the just good
we
versions.
We have vanilla.
Yeah. And like, I think he said they had a Neapolitan, like they had the like. The classic ice cream flavors, but they were all like really good versions of those flavors.
Yeah, that is respectable. Yeah. I can get into that.
And I was like, you know what?
Have you been probably... to? Is it called Perverted Ice Cream?
No, where's that?
It's. I think there's one on Vancouver Island, and then there's one in like downtown Vancouver.
Okay.
And the whole shtick is just that everything's black.
Everything's black?
Yeah. So the vanilla is black.
Nice.
The
they just put dye and everything?
Yeah. So the cone is black. The vanilla, it looks like it's this weird, like, made of squid ink or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, but this one's so gimmicky.
Right.
It's like all marketing. Because it's not bad ice cream, but it's like, yeah, that's vanilla, but it's black.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's like, all right.
So... do they have interesting flavors, or is it just no. like
look,
normal?
They're a soft serve place, which is actually interesting. You don't see that as much,
yeah.
But their whole it's more about toppings and stuff for mm-hmm. them. So it's like, oh, you get your thing, and it's got dark chocolate because it all has to be black,
mm-hmm.
and it's got whatever. But like it's about toppings and that kind of stuff because it's soft serve.
Hmm. What's that one in Vancouver that's like? I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, it's not the, like, the modern vegan type ice cream place. It's just like kind of classic, but it's more of a Baskin Robbins type, than not a trendy or expensive one. I don't remember what it's called, but I remember it being really good and you could sample everything, but they kind of like, you want a spoon? Here's a spoon. Like
oh, they encourage sampling?
Yeah, yeah.
I like those places. I hate places that have sampling, and it seems like they don't. Like, I like places where you walk in, and they're like, hey, you want to try something out?
What yeah, yeah.
Versus you walk in, and they're like, what can I get you? And
well,
I'm like,
what I remember...
can I try this? And you hear like a, maybe if it's not even audible, you like can see a sigh in their eyes where it's just like.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I can get you.
You're going to try three? You know, like, it's like.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, there is a limit. Right.
Right. Yeah.
You're allowed to try. You're allowed to try two. Did you know that?
Oh, that's so terrible.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, no, that's so dumb. I don't remember the name of it, but it was like, they had like a lot of flavors, and it was like kind of this like U shape with all the ice cream containers. It wasn't like just one little section. It was like kind of the whole place was the ice cream shop. Anyways, that place was really good. Yeah, I just feel like they're all getting kind of similar and like,
The market is being saturated.
That's for sure. That's definitely for sure. Well, ice cream has to be doing pretty well. You know, like
the ice cream industry these days, fellas.
Well, there's so many of them, right? So they must be doing, like they must, like it's, I don't think there were that many ice cream places when we were kids. Like,
no, it was Baskin Robbins.
There was a tip. Yeah, we went to
like Dairy Queen.
What's the other one? Not what one of them is Cold Stone, the Canadian one, and Marble Slab is the American one. Is it
there? At
like
one point, we had both.
Yeah, but then we lost Marble Slab, right?
Yeah, I think we have Cold Stone Creamery, and those are those never have been my favorite though.
No,
but that's more my fault. I'm that guy that's like, oh, the toppings are free,
right?
All of them then, and it's like. Yeah, I thought I got too excited, and the Kit Kat bubblegum ice cream I made is really bad.
Yeah.
Where I have
Kit Kat bubblegum.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is I'm better right. at it now, but I could never help
creating the right combo of scoops.
I could never help myself. Whenever I heard toppings were free, I was like, "Well, why aren't we getting all of them then? They're free."
Right. Yeah, that was the problem with like Menchie's and those type places. All well, the Froyo places.
Menchie's is different. Menchie's because they go by
right. They go by because
they go by weight. I was better at that because I was like, okay, they go by weight. I can't go all out. So then I'll try and make a good combo. And also, I was like, is this a good thing, or is it just going to be a heavy thing that weighs down my thing, like my ice cream? I'm gonna do coconut.
Oh, right.
Because like, coconut will add a lot of flavor.
You'd think about the weight.
Yeah, I was like, coconut. I like coconut. It's gonna add a lot of flavor, but
it's light.
It's super light, so it probably won't even impact the price.
Right. That's true.
But yeah, I also used to do that with Subway. It was like, oh, the toppings are free.
Right.
Yeah, give me everything. It's just like Subway wasn't as bad, but it was like I don't know if the honey mustard and the ranch and the spicy honey mustard and the onion sauce and the raspberry vinaigrette all work together great.
What's your like home ice cream routine, like what do you typically do if you're gonna have ice cream like at home? What flavor do you get and do you put toppings on it? Like what's the typical home ice cream?
I don't like ice cream.
That's a big wow. That reveals a lot about this conversation.
We've been talking for a while. But here's why this topic was interesting. Because if we go out and I have if we have ice cream of like high quality, I like it. But
yeah, but so you wouldn't have ice cream at home? Do you ever like,
I have,
buy ice cream?
I have because my wife likes it.
Yeah.
But to me, like, you know that thing where it's like, oh, you know, pizza, even if you get bad pizza, it's still good because it's pizza.
Sure.
For me, ice cream's not that. And yeah, and that's the thing.
Oh, okay.
And for that.
So it has to be good.
Yeah. So like if we get the big tub from Walmart, I will eat almost none of it.
Mm.
Like, I will get a scoop maybe once in a while and be like, okay. Or, like, if I know, oh, I'm having a piece of pie and
yeah,
I want ice cream
yeah,
on.
Yeah, definitely.
Ice cream, to me, works almost better as a topping.
That's very true. A la mode.
Yeah, or like, oh, I'm having a root beer float.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Whereas, I don't know, I just... somebody's like, hey, I've got some ice cream, I'll be like, okay, sure. But okay. I'm never excited about it.
That's all of this is insane. Like I think for the most part, if I have ice cream at home, it's just vanilla ice cream. Like I don't we don't every once in a while they'll be like, oh, that's an interesting flavor, let's try that. Like, you know, you see a tub at the grocery store that's like, that's an interesting flavor, let's see what that tastes. Or like we've been frequenting like the local farm markets, and like they often have like an interesting, like Krauss Berry Farms puts their stuff everywhere. So
corn ice cream?
No, not corn, but they have like lots of berry ice creams where it's like chunks of berries in there.
Right.
That's really good. But I think for the most part, if we have ice cream at home, it's like what you said, it's on a dessert, usually a pie, or it's with like some berries on it or something like that, like vanilla with some raspberries is a good one.
I just don't get excited for ice cream anymore.
That's sad. It's very sad.
Like, I'm even the kind of person that if it's like, oh, let's do a Dairy Queen run. You want a blizzard?
You don't want it?
I'll get a...
Well, you worked at Dairy Queen, so what did you get?
So I go on the Dairy Queen run. I ask everybody what they want. They want a Reese's Blizzard. Okay, cool. You want a Turtles one. Okay, nice. Oh, I want a dipped cone. Okay, cool. I go and get a flamethrower spicy chicken wrap.
Wow. That's funny. I didn't like any of their food. Man, their chicken strips got bad.
Are you a liar?
They used to be good. They recently got bad.
Oh, did they change the chicken strip providers?
I think so.
Because they, without a doubt, were the place.
Really?
For me.
I think they got worse, but I have no... Maybe that's just my taste changing.
To me, they are the, like... Like, you know when you go to a deli or a place that serves chicken strips, and they give you, like, the good... quality chicken strips, and then you go to a fast food place and it's like, this almost is like a chicken nugget but long. They are the one fast food place where the chicken strip actually feels almost like natural, like a cut from a chicken rather than like a recomposed
chicken. I find that thing. The Wendy's chicken strips are pretty quality in my opinion.
Listen, I just, from my experience, Dairy Queen's been the best.
You can
get a basket that's got chicken strips and, like, fries.
Remember we were recently talking about they, like, reduced the amount of chicken strips or something? Like, maybe it wasn't with you. Maybe it was with, I think it was with Dad, that he's like, I got chicken strips, and they gave me, like, two.
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
Like, but anyways, I feel like it's correlated. Like, they reduced the amount of chicken, and also got worse.
Their burgers are bad, though. Well,
oh, yeah, no.
Sort of.
What did I get? At some point, I got something at Dairy Queen, and it's like, I don't think I'm ever going to get Dairy Queen food again, because that was so bad.
Here's my opinion, is when, you know when you get, like family barbecue and they just get the cheapest burgers from Walmart and they're just frozen patties and you're like, this isn't bad, but it's not like, if somebody gave me this at a restaurant, I'd be kind of disappointed. You know what I mean? You can tell that it's just a cheap patty that's a frozen patty.
Yeah.
That's what Dairy Queen tastes like to me, is like they went to Walmart and just got the cheap patties.
Yeah.
Which isn't the same for every fast food restaurant. But sometimes...
Well, there are better and worse versions of cheap patties and stuff.
They are like school cafeteria.
Yeah, that's very accurate. But, actually, their fries, I think, too, are that type.
But sometimes I crave that.
Okay.
I don't know what...
I get that.
Like, where I'm just like, I don't want a good burger right now. I want a crappy, like...
That's Burger King for me.
Oh, I can't even... I'm like, no.
No, but if I want a bad burger, I go to Burger King. Because
it's just so much cheaper.
It is really cheap. Their nuggets are like $2 for 20 or something. It's stupid.
Dude, I've had every single time I've been like, yeah, but they're just cheap. I'll go to Burger King.
It's been not a lackluster.
It's been a bad experience. Yeah. I'm not even joking. I've been like, I did not enjoy the food I ate. I would have rather not eaten food.
You would rather starved.
It was not good.
I got, they had dill-flavored chicken nuggets at Burger King. I was like, oh, that's interesting. It tastes like pickles. And then I got it, and I was like, this is so bad. It does not taste good at all.
That doesn't sound good.
Like, it sound, well, like, the idea, like, someone could do that, right? Like,
I also think
flavored chicken.
I also think I'm maturing in my fast food taste. Not, like, growing out of fast food.
Yeah, no.
But I've started to appreciate the Filet-O-Fish.
Oh, no, really? I haven't had one in, I don't know. Have I ever had one?
So
I must have had one.
So what happened was I was ordering food on Skip the Dishes, and I saw, oh, free Filet-O-Fish with whatever order. And I was
obviously.
I was like, and yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'll take a free Filet-O-Fish. And I liked it quite a bit, to the point where next time I got McDonald's, I requested Filet-O-Fish.
I feel like the only time I ever got a Filet-O-Fish was when... Did you ever discover the people's own custom burgers from,
and you got like a chicken beef fish?
Yeah, it was the Lancian Air burger, and it's just you put all three of those in,
and it was
one.
Just to try something.
It's just to see, and it's like it wasn't great, but it wasn't gross.
Listen, I had it, and I was like, you know what, I enjoy this. Or when. They even did a fish and chips at one point, McDonald's did, and I enjoyed that too.
Man, it's been a while since we got the lobster, what's it called?
The lobster roll or whatever.
Yeah, or or the beef, what's the, barbecue thing?
Or are you talking the McRib?
Yeah, the McRib. It's been a while since we got either
That's
of those type
dead.
Of things. Is it really dead?
Well, it could come back. Nothing's
Isn't it
dead.
Just that it's that they haven't had a good season for the meat?
They did it
in a long
they
time.
They did an official goodbye tour.
Really? Yeah. I missed that.
So they did that, and I'm assuming they did that so that people wouldn't ask about it anymore, so that people wouldn't be like, when's the McRib coming back? But I genuinely think it's like, it might come back, but we don't want you guys to care. We want you guys to assume it's dead so that when the triumphant McRib does come back, there's mayhem in the streets.
That's crazy. That's sad. To close out this ice cream and fast food topic, did you know A&W doesn't serve a float anymore? They do not serve root beer floats anymore.
That's sad.
It's wrong.
But they do milkshakes and stuff.
Yep. You can get a milkshake, you can get a frozen root beer, you can get all kinds of.
That makes me scared of what's the milkshake.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but Alicia went to get my wife went to get a root beer float. She asked, like, sorry, we don't have any root beer floats anymore. Do you want a milkshake? Do you want a frozen root beer? She's like, what? You don't have root beer floats?
That's so
like,
sad.
Like, the thing that built your empire?
That is so, so sad. I've never been more sad.
I was actually, like, heartbroken. I was like, that, I can't get, like, obviously I can make one and probably be better than the one they would have made, but I can't make an A&W. I can't buy an A&W root beer float from A&W, like in the glass, the frozen chilled glass, like with just a scoop on top, and it like wasn't good ice cream, but it was built for the root beer. You know what I mean?
I don't know why, but for some reason that hits me so hard whenever somebody goes to a place for a specific thing and they don't have it.
Yeah, especially a staple, one that's been at least there for a while.
No, but like it like actually kind of hurts me. I'm like, no, why?
Well, because it's like one of those things where like that will never exist again.
Yeah.
I mean, well, this is also Canadian A&W. Apparently they're like
Listen,
totally separate from
the
America.
Times I've gone to get this is different because it comes back every year. The times I went to get a Shamrock Shake, and not just like, oh, we're out for today, but the, oh no, we're done Shamrock Shake until next year. I'm like,
man,
are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
And they're like, we have other flavors of shakes. I'm like, I don't want them.
when there's a limited item that I was like, oh, that looks interesting, and then like I just miss it. It's like, ah,
there's something that hurts in a deeper way than just a, oh yeah, we're out of that today,
man.
Because we're out of that today, I'm like, okay, fair enough, whatever. And that could be I don't have it for months and months and months. But something about you cannot have this, even if you came tomorrow.
Yeah,
you cannot have it.
I'll never forget.
It's hopeless.
The jalapeno fresco spicy chicken sandwich at Wendy's. It's never come back since I got it in 2016.
And it was your favorite.
It's by far my favorite sandwich I've ever had for them.
Oh, I thought you were going to say period.
No, from them. I don't know about, I would have to think about that more to decide if that's true. But they have had multiple ghost pepper jalapeno sandwiches since then that have not been nearly as good.
They had one that I had that was a Thai chicken, so it had like that, and it had deep fried cucumbers on it.
Oh,
it was the
when was that?
I don't know.
I don't remember this.
A couple of years ago now.
Usually, I try every of their,
and I think it shocked people too much because I've never seen it come back.
Okay,
but I liked it
too much.
I liked it so much. It had like a freshness to it because of the cucumbers, even though they were deep fried.
Yeah.
There was something about just cucumber that made you feel not like garbage after you ate it. And I was like, yeah.
In general, I find Wendy's is good for that. Like not. Not feeling gross.
I like kind of agree with you, but also the amount of times I've gotten a Baconator and a poutine. And
yeah, I never get like, I never get Baconators anymore.
And then I've
been, it's just not what I want from Wendy's.
Yeah, this is also what I'm saying about having matured. Mm. I like the Filet-O-Fish, the Baconators. I'm like, nah.
No, okay. I always get a spicy chicken.
Yeah, I often get a spicy chicken
or a JBC.
I tend to look at what their special is. If it's got a pretzel bun, you know I'm getting it.
Oh, yeah.
You know definitely. I'm getting it.
Yeah, what'd they have recently with a pretzel bun? They had
something. I don't know. Good. I always get it. Sometimes the burger in it itself, I'm like, I could take it or leave it. Right. But the pretzel bun itself, I'm like.
Whenever they do mushrooms, it's usually disappointing.
It's always slimy.
It's always slimy. You got to do a dry mushroom type thing.
Yeah. Like, they can't do it.
Yeah.
Dude.
If they did like a portobello sandwich, I'd be so
there's a like Swiss mushroom dairy. When I worked at Dairy Queen, they still have it, I think. It was a Swiss mushroom burger. Okay? Swiss cheese and this like mushroom.
Was that like the normal menu?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's still there. The number one complaint we would get is that it's too slimy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yes.
Yeah, you're right. You are correct. I don't know what's up with that. All the restaurants that do mushrooms are like that.
There was one time where I feel bad about it. I should have given him a refund, but he came up and said it's too slimy. And I said, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he left.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about mushrooms is that the worst part about mushrooms is texture.
It's texture, yeah.
And they always make it worse by adding all this like liquidy stuff that's like, but it's already kind of weirdly slimy if you cook it at least. Like, it's going to have this weird sliminess to it. And then we add this sauce that makes it like just like a mucus. And it's like, why are we doing that?
Same with like any, we did caramelized onions on this burger.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, you like caramelized onions again are already kind of slimy and weird.
Yeah.
And then as soon as a fast food place gets a hold of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they don't do any of it in-house. They get like we got our caramelized onions already. And we got our sauteed mushroom sauce. Mm. Or sauteed mushroom slurry or whatever.
Yeah.
And they just have that. And it just sucks.
Yeah, me and my wife. Went to Five Guys
Burgers and Fries,
which she had never had. And
you guys get peanuts?
No, I didn't. Do they have peanuts?
Is that not Five Guys?
That is, but I don't think they did.
What the heck?
Because their fries are cooked in peanut oil.
Yeah, and they have peanuts everywhere. Did you go inside?
Yeah. I think they didn't have it. Maybe it's a Canadian thing, because I definitely remember peanuts when I had it in the States.
I went to the Vancouver one.
Oh, yeah, they did?
They had, it was gross. There was peanut shells all over the ground.
Oh, yeah, no, there wasn't none of that. This was in Chilliwack. There was no, I don't remember any peanuts. I feel like it's a allergy thing. Well, I guess you wouldn't go into Five Guys if you were allergic to peanuts.
I'm pretty sure there's like a sign outside that just says, do not come in here.
Oh, yeah, because there's peanut air in Five Guys. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just that one. But
isn't Five Guys, sorry to interrupt your riveting story.
Yeah.
Is your complaint about to be it was too sloppy?
Partially, but that was my wife's fault because what I was going to say is she made the mistake of getting everything on it.
Okay.
Which includes grilled onions, grilled mushrooms, and like six sauces.
Okay. But I don't know. The times I've been to Five Guys, I've had the problem where I'm like, this tastes slimy.
Yeah. So what I did is not get it. I got one or two sauces, no grilled anything. And I made it like a classic burger with bacon and cheese.
Yeah, but why should we suffer?
Why should we suffer?
Why should we suffer? Because it was like that plus the bun got soggy.
Mm.
Fix your stuff, Five Guys. I don't want a soggy bun.
Yeah, but that is your fault, though.
No.
Because you get a bunch of stuff that makes it slimy.
No, put it in a different order then. Don't put the wet stuff next to the bun. Put the wet stuff in between the patties
okay,
or something.
I see what you're saying.
Or like underneath the cheese.
Okay, but like there's a limit to how much you can do that when you get all the things, right? Like if you get grilled onions and grilled mushrooms, like
they can figure it out.
You can't hide it inside everything.
Listen, I'll probably go to Five Guys again, but
I love Five Guys.
So this is a video game podcast.
Yeah, we could keep. Wait, let's finish this Five Guys thought. But anyways, like, all I'm saying is that she now doesn't like Five Guys because of how that slimy her burger was. But I'm like,
I know.
But I'm like, you should have.
It
but
sucks
like,
how a singular bad experience makes you go, oh, that place sucks.
Yeah, no, mine was awesome, and I just got like the bacon, lettuce, tomato, cheese, and raw onion, not grilled onion.
Have you ever been to Tex Big Burger in Surrey?
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
Dude, they're so good. The amount of fries they give you is insane. I remember I ordered for, like, a group of people once, and I was just like, I'll just order two XL fries, and everybody will just share the fries.
Yeah.
We got through half of one. It was like I want to say like 10 pounds of fries. That's clearly an exaggeration, but it was so many fries. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I had fries for weeks.
A good fry is like game changer for any
I brought
fast
them,
food place.
They were my work lunch for a week. Just fries. I would
it's
bring
a humongous.
I
right?
would bring a Tupperware
it's a sack.
I would bring a Tupperware of fries, and I would bring like some sauce, like hot sauce and fries, and I would eat it like it's a salad.
Put some bacon bits on it.
I would just like drizzle the sauce on top and then just eat it, and it was just fries.
With like a fork or with your fingers?
With a fork. I'm not that much of an animal.
Yeah. Well, anyway, like I was just saying. Connecting that to your idea of us maturing in our fast food, where like, I in another time I would have gotten all the things to put on the burger, because like what you were saying about like ice cream, where you don't get all the stuff anymore.
They're free. The toppings are free.
Yeah, well, Five Guys, it is the case that there's certain toppings that cost money, but for everything else, it's all free. So naturally, you'll get everything if you want to.
You'll get as much as you want.
Extend the value, but then you learn like. Actually, it's worse now because I got everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was better when I didn't have barbecue sauce, ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard. There's like a garlic aioli. Like, it's every sauce on there. And it's like, No, I need one or two sauces. That's it. Because you can't mess with a whole bunch of sauces. Because that's like the flavor profile of the burger is the sauce. So if you have every sauce, it's like it's a mush. Like it's just.
Do you remember everything. When Wendy's had the Sossum sauce? I talk about this. I talk about this every.
They don't have any of their sauces anymore because they just switched. At some point they switched to the Heinz basic sauces, so they don't have any of their custom sauces anymore. Okay,
their Sossum sauce. It was called Sossum sauce.
Yeah,
kind of terrible name. Mm. It was my favorite fast food sauce in the world.
Their sauces were really good.
I would get it, but I would equate it to every sauce. Because
that's what it was, right?
It tasted
that like... That was our theory, is it was a combo of all their sauces.
Yeah, because that's what it tasted like. You were like, oh, yeah, it kind of has a ranch thing, but it kind of has a barbecue thing.
Yeah, it kind of has a mustard, kind of everything.
But it didn't... But it tasted so good.
Oh, yeah.
I think they just got the perfect levels for everything.
That Yeah, where, exactly. Where there was a heavy emphasis on... Like a ranch.
Yeah.
And then light on like and barbecue sauce.
And I think it's because ranch is a milder flavor.
Right.
That like it was a probably like base ranch and then just like, okay, a little bit of barbecue. Okay, a little bit of hot sauce. A little bit of mustard. A little bit of. And to the point where I would go quite often and ask for extra and I would use it on other things.
Mm.
It was so good. I was so upset.
Yeah. Ugh, and now they just don't have any of those. They have, they switched their sauce providers. Their sauce was Wendy's sauces. Like, they had a Wendy's logo and everything. And now if you get a ranch, it's a Heinz ranch.
Yeah.
It's a Heinz mustard. It's all these things. It's like, this is not nearly as good as what you guys were making.
I will say, however, in good news.
In good fast food news?
Is that... it looks like that the buffalo chicken snack wrap is now again a staple at McDonald's.
Oh, really?
And it wasn't for a while.
They just added snack wraps to the main menu of Wendy's, too.
Because they had McDonald's, when they first introduced snack wraps, it was ranch and buffalo.
Right, and then they got rid of...
And they got rid of buffalo.
Yeah.
And I was like, you idiots. What is wrong with you? It's the best one. And they had it gone for so long, but it looks to be it's a staple again. Like, it doesn't say a limited time thing. It's just, like, buffalo chicken snack wrap. It's just there. And
that is good news.
It's just good news.
Another good news.
Pikmin 4.
Pikmin 4 is pretty good. Boom!
This is a video game podcast. Welcome to Soup Box.
After we just, what was that, 30 minutes or something? On
at least.
At least people will listen to it.
Nobody's going to listen.
Well, people will listen longer to that than anything else we've ever talked about.
Yeah, probably.
Now it's time to turn it off, everybody. yeah, so I was playing a video game. It's called Pikmin 4. It's about these little guys.
Oh, just little guys. Okay, wait. I have actual questions about this.
Now. Okay, let me just explain what Pikmin 4 is for all of our amazing listeners.
Pikmin is a series created by the Nintendo Entertainment Company. And Pikmin are little fellas. And the main character of the series is Olimar. He talks like this.
So Pikmin is a game in which you control a space explorer who has recently crash-landed. It depends on the game, but in all of them, you're a space explorer that lands on a planet, and the planet is this oversized Earth-like planet in which all the plants are like giant leaves and things, and you're like miniature-looking in this world, and there are these creatures called Pikmin, in which they're kind of ant-like, and they have leaves on their head, and they're come in different colors and varieties, and you have to command them to. It depends on the game, but in Pikmin 4, you're using them to collect things to. I don't know, to upgrade your ship. I guess is the gimmick this time.
Yeah.
So you can explore further, and you're also rescuing the main story of this one is you're rescuing Olimar. Like, you're part of the rescue team to find Olimar.
And how does Olimar talk?
Like, blah, 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 blah.
Slower, slower. I always liked that, because usually every other, when they do, like, gibberish speak, it's always like, and it's, like, a kind of a normal, but they made Olimar's voice always so... And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not an Animal Crossing. It's like...
Fun fact, Olimar is a rearranged Mario with an added L.
You're right. That is a fun fact.
That's true, though. That's why he's named Olimar. They just rearranged Mario and added one letter.
No, yeah, I know. But that's a fun fact.
Especially the way I told it.
Yeah, there's an added L.
Yeah, well, I don't. There was probably a reason for the L, right?
Yeah.
Is he something closer to Mario in Japanese?
I don't know. But there's also Luigi and Louis.
And, yeah, and is he a brother or are they just friends?
No, it's his brother.
Okay, his brother is Louis, like Luigi. Haha. And they have the, like, Olimar is short and fatter and Louis a little thinner.
You played the demo of this first, right?
Yeah, so here's the thing. I played the demo in a way in which you can play it for longer. So if you just don't collect the stuff you need to upgrade your ship, which is treasures and whatever, and fruit and stuff, if you just don't collect them, the demo never ends. So I did that and realized I don't actually want to play this game this way. So I didn't transfer my save when I started a new game. So the hour I've played of Pikmin 4 is what I've already played.
Wow.
But this time I'm playing it for real instead of the like way I was playing the demo where I just walked around and didn't touch anything. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like I collected enemies because those just give you more Pikmin.
Right.
So you could attack, like you could fight things and whatever. And I just like kind of find the treasure just so I can see it and then not collect
it. All the questions I have probably didn't even do.
Like, depends on what they are. Yeah.
Did you even do a Dandori battle?
No.
That's like 90% of my questions.
Is through the Dandori battle?
Well, I was just so excited because I really enjoyed Pikmin 2's multiplayer, and I was really hoping, is that the same? Because
I'll
play
it from the menu. You don't have to play it in the story mode.
Yeah, because it just looks fun. The only thing I had worries is I really like... The reason I think Pikmin 2 worked so well, like the multiplayer, is that you had separate objectives and like objectives that you could both get. So the whole shtick was... You have to collect 3 of your own color marbles.
Right, right, right.
Or collect the golden marble.
Oh,
and
yeah,
if you
get
the golden marble, there's one golden marble. And if you get that one, you win instantly. But you could both get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that being like the coolest. It's like the golden snitch kind of deal where it's like, yeah, I can go and get the objectives. Or I can go for the Hail Mary and just go after this one thing.
Right. Kind of. We recently... This year played Killer Queen Black, and it kind of has a similar type of game.
I really like...
Where there's many objectives, and you have to be remembering all of them kind of thing.
Yeah, there's 3 different ways to win, and so if you're letting anyone slide for the other team, and you're like not keeping their...
I'm so glad we finally got to play that game, because it was so good.
Dude, I need to get another... It's so... Oh, man. It's too big of a group.
Yeah.
Because I don't have 8 people in my life. Period. No, right. I don't have 8 people in my life that are like, because it's not a nothing game, you know?
You could play online with 4 people.
I know, but probably nobody else is playing it. And then probably, like, that's not fun. I'd want to play 4v4 in the same room.
I should look up if there's an arcade one anywhere here, because those ones are 5v5, first of
right.
all. And...
Yeah, and
you know, it's a fun night.
Yeah,
bring 5 people and just hopefully there's another 5 people.
Yeah, I'd be okay with going against strangers if they're in the same room. Because
right.
that's what's
fun. Well, you're playing on opposite sides of a screen.
Yeah. Like, but you could hear them scream.
Yeah, no, like everyone's there. But.
So that's the fun part.
That I don't know if there's any here, though. Like, because they list where they
yeah,
have put
I
them.
I think the closest one was, like,
Seattle
or
yeah,
something.
That makes sense.
So,
but
yeah.
But anyway, Pikmin.
Pikmin's 4
fun.
Is good.
So I'm playing it now for real, which means I'm efficiently using my time with, like, how I manage the Pikmin.
Yeah.
Where I was just kind of, like, wandering. But yeah. now I'm, like, playing it like you're supposed to, which is the Dandori, which is
yeah.
that word means to use your time efficiently in a organized manner kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what the word is. It's a, like it's one of those, like, you know, there's the condo organization or whatever. There's another word.
The condo organization?
No. Okay, what's that lady?
Oh, Marie Kondo.
Oh, okay. So it's not condo because that's her name. But there's a word that she uses that is about...
I see. It seems like that was just a word that they didn't know how they could translate it properly
yeah.
into... And it sounded cool enough.
Don't they use it in Animal Crossing too, with your house?
Dandori?
No, the Carrie, whatever Carrie Kondo, Curry. What's her name?
Marie
Kondo. Whatever word she uses for her method, it's a Japanese word. And I think Animal Crossing talks about it in your furniture stuff.
Feng shui.
Not feng shui, but that is similar. But anyways.
But it will.
So yeah, I'm playing the game for real, and it's fun. I do wish I had an actual time crunch. Like,
yeah, there isn't in this.
No,
one, right?
there
yeah.
isn't one, and I don't think there's going to be. Maybe
what if
a like.
A, what if there's a mystery one? Like, you know how Super Metroid and Metroid,
yeah.
where they never said there was a time thing, but if you did beat it in a faster time, you'd get like a special little
I
ending.
I can see that there probably is something like that. My guess would be like a 30-day limit or something like that.
Because
that's the Pikmin, Pikmin 1 and 3.
Yeah.
Like, I think 30 days is the maximum amount of days for those games.
Because I think that would be, I don't know, I think that would be cool. It's like, oh, if you beat it within this time, you get the true ending. But if you beat it outside of that time, you get an okay ending.
Yeah, and I hope that is the case. I would love... If there, I don't think there is going to be this. I haven't heard about it. But if, like, you beat the game and it's like, now do it on hard mode where you have this many days or whatever.
It is, well, okay, that would work. It is an outdated, not outdated, but it's
you just have to make it optional.
It's a thing, yeah, it's a thing that not a lot of people would want to do. So it's like, oh, so I could go.
It's limiting for the audience, especially the type of game this is.
Well,
audience.
The reason Pikmin 1 did it, and it was actually a pretty harsh time limit, was that it's a 6-hour game.
Right. It's short.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, you're like, oh, I have to play that again.
Yeah.
But
I think this game's like 15 to 18 hours, something like that.
Oh, really? That's even shorter than 2 and 3, I think. I think those
Maybe
are
I'm
both
wrong.
Like 30.
Know. Oh, really?
I think so.
I don't think I played Pikmin 3 for 30 hours. I feel like I played it for like 20.
Okay. Well, either way, imagine going those 20 hours and then losing and then going all the way back to the beginning.
I might be a little low on what my guess for how long it is.
But you would like hate that to be like, yeah, I played for 20 hours and because I didn't go fast enough, I have to just do that again. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you definitely... Well, one thing is they'd have to present it. Like, you can't make that secret that you're going to lose at this many days or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, for Pikmin 4, I mean. And, yeah, so it clearly isn't going... It's going more the Pikmin 2 method of just... It is explore and find things and, like... There's a soft encouragement to do things quickly through the Dandori
yeah.
talk.
They might also have a... like, I would guess they would have sections... Where it's like
there's probably a score too, like you know you have the high score by doing it like this fast or whatever.
But I'm saying like, what if like an event happens later in the game and it's like, oh crap, you need to do this, and you're on a time crunch for like 5 days.
Yeah, sure, that could be interesting.
And it's like, oh, there's a meteor about to hit. You need to get all the stuff you want in this place and then get out of there to move to a new area.
Yeah.
Something like
that. So playing through the intro again, it definitely, one thing it did this time is I got to focus more on the actual like gameplay changes.
Yeah.
Relative to Pikmin 3. Because that's the one I'm most familiar with, was Pikmin 3. I played Pikmin 2 as well. I don't think I beat it, but I played a decent amount of it.
Are you going to get Pikmin 1 and 2 on Switch?
I don't, not soon, but maybe at some point.
They're cheap enough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like,
for two games.
I would probably get Pikmin 3 again before I got those, though.
Right.
Because Pikmin 3 was great.
Oh, right, because you played it on Wii U, I was going to say.
Pikmin 2, the reason to, that would be, see, here's the thing. I kind of want to get Pikmin 1 because of how hard the time limit is, but
no,
I feel like it's still the worst one, even with that. Like,
yeah, but you're,
just because of the nature of it.
Yeah, but you got to get both of them.
Like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't get one and not the other, but I just mean in terms of what I'd play.
You'd probably play one because it's so short.
I guess so, yeah.
I would doubt having played...
What are the things you collect in Pikmin 1?
Your ship pieces.
Oh, right.
Like, your ship falls apart, and you have to just go rebuild your ship.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is the stuff you collect is actually a big factor in the ones I want to play.
Right. Like,
it's way more fun when there's weird things to collect. And Pikmin 3,
it's fruit.
It's just fruit. There was something cool about
high quality fruit.
Yeah, high quality renders of these, like,
they interesting have a shine fruit on them.
Yeah, and like, dude, it's a cantaloupe.
Well, it's true. There was like cantaloupes, but then there was also like, oh, a mangosteen?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Like,
they would
even
have
now in Pikmin 4, there is still fruit and veggies, and uncovering a sweet potato is an exciting thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I don't know, like, because you're familiar with all these things, and there's this aspect of this is the real world.
I'd like to go, I think 2 is the coolest for that, though.
Definitely.
I said on one of these episodes that they had to change the real brands into fake brands.
Yes, and that is somewhat disappointing, but it's still cool.
Yeah, I said.
You said they did it right.
They did it they really took time and effort to design cool-looking fake brands so that it didn't feel like some of the brands just look like a real product, so it doesn't feel like...
There is also an aspect in which it's better in an aesthetic reason, because it's cool to have these, like, Duracell and Snapple and, you know, real brands popping up, but there is an aspect that makes it more Pikmin when it's fake. You know what I mean?
True.
Like, it feels more like how Animal Crossing does, like, these fake products and things.
I kind of agree, but also because Animal Crossing has done it, when Animal Crossing has done a, like, real product.
What have they done?
So...
Like, non-Nintendo products.
So this is a Japanese-only thing, but they did a partnership with 7-Eleven.
Oh, okay,
and so
cool.
You could get, like, a 7-Eleven vending machine.
That's sick.
And, like, all this weird stuff. And like a
For which game?
The 3DS one, New Leaf.
Could you get them in, like, could you trade them?
Yes, you could.
So you could get them in the States or wherever by getting them from Japanese players?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
that's crazy.
I remember
that must have changed the economy, like, in a big way
when it
happened.
It did, because I remember going on Reddit and, like, there were people being like, yeah, if you come to my thing with 30 million bells.
Well, that would be that would be a case where I'm like, if there's a duplication glitch, I'm like, that's one reason to do it, is if there's like an actual region restricted item.
I think there was, but I also think it was inconsistent and it had the potential to, like, delete both of it.
Yeah, that's
and I
that's
was like
rough.
I was like, oh, I don't know, because you had to, like, go to their place and then like drop it on the ground, but then immediately disconnect.
Yeah, dipping my toes into the Animal Crossing New Horizons online world was like crazy.
People take that game so seriously.
Like,
people take.
Do you know I have like millions and millions of bells?
Yeah, I do.
Because I was.
You created a business.
Well, yeah. So I created an Animal Crossing business for fun where we weeded people's towns. And people were so generous, one. And then at some point we did a thing where we're like weeding. It was Mother's Day. So we were weeding moms that. Like, we just said, anybody who's a mom, let's weed your town. And then someone was like, I'm going to give you, like, 30 million bells to just give to the moms. And I was like, okay. And then I had all these bells, and I was like, I gave them, like, tons of bells or whatever it was. And I was like, here, just have a bunch of bells for Mother's Day. And then at the end of that, I was like, to the guy, I was like, hey, I still have all these bells. Do you want them back? And he's like, no. I was like, okay.
Well, yeah. But people did like time glitches and stuff on those where it was like.
Well, the way he gave them to me was a duplicated crowns.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he just gave me a bunch of crowns and I'd cash them in.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's our Animal Crossing podcast for today.
Yeah, Pikmin 4.
But you excited about it? It's looking good.
It's looking good. I like it. So, yeah, I was going to say some of the gameplay changes I've noticed. The locking on aspect, which is one of the major changes to the actual feel of the game, where you can lock on to objects.
Yeah.
And it's automatic. It's not like a hold Z to target. It's like you just, when your cursor is pointed at a thing, you lock on to it. And that actually kind of changes the gameplay a lot because you're not focused on aiming at all. Like,
yeah.
So I played Pikmin 3 with a Wii remote in which you're pointing. And I've never actually played the GameCube way. I guess I am playing the GameCube way now. Like, that's kind of what this is how the GameCube games played.
Yeah.
But that really changes it because you had to like kind of aim with the earlier games. Like you had to like, yeah, your Pikmin are going to attack, the thing you throw it near no matter what, or pick up the object you're throwing them near. You don't have to be precise, but there was preciseness in like, oh, you throw the Pikmin straight onto the flower and it will break right away rather than them destroying the stem of the flower. Right. Or enemies, if you threw it right on top of a small bulb orb or whatever they're called, it would crush it. And it'd have to be one of the tiny ones. But it'd crush it and you'd get them in one hit. Those kinds of things where, like, a good throw does impact your ability to defeat an enemy or to collect an object.
Yeah.
It does matter. Now it matters way less. Like, it just matters, like, for the flower example, where you'll hit the flower and it will collapse, you just have to be facing the right way. There's no aiming.
Yeah.
You just have to be close enough and not behind the flower, basically.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to aim to hit the thing. If you're close enough to the flower, it will knock it down.
The only, I mean, this is me just barely playing 2 and stuff. The only thing I could see this actually affecting my play of it is boss battles.
Yes.
I feel like
I am very interested on how this is going to go. I haven't done a real boss. I've done bigger enemies.
I don't know. I feel like automatically locking on when in a boss battle will just feel bad.
Well, one thing it is going to do,
it almost feels like
it's going to make it more focused on the strategy element of the game and not on the...
I kind of see that, but also
not on the like actual.
Well, that's why
pointing and aiming.
That's why I think the boss battle part would be worrisome because there would be only one thing you're focused on.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not like going, oh, okay, you guys carry this while you guys help me fight. Yeah. It's like unless the boss battles are designed differently, which they could be.
So some other things I've noticed. And I'll have to, I'm not 100% on what is carried over from previous Pikmins and what's not, but just some things I'm noticing that I'm not 100% sure were there before. There's a like soft lock when you're throwing Pikmin at something. Like, let's, because everything has a number count on how much it needs to be picked up.
Yeah.
So let's say it's 10 Pikmin to pick this object up.
You can do double that, right?
Yes, you can double that, and they'll carry it faster. But when you mash A to throw your Pikmin at something to carry it, it will, if you just keep pressing A, it'll stop at 10. Like, you won't mash and accidentally get to 15. It'll, like, if you just, A, when you hit 10, it stops shooting Pikmin at them. For like a delay. And then once they are all landed on the object, you can start throwing more.
I don't know if I like that.
It's interesting, right? Like, it does make me, like...
I feel like it's...
Because I'm aware of how many times I'm hitting A, you know? Like, yeah. When I know I need 10 Pikmin, I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like, I'm not just mashing A randomly. I'm thinking about how many times I'm pressing. But with that knowledge, it might make me not count. Because why count when I know it's going to lock me after I get the right amount?
Yeah, I wonder if that's a, like, and I've noticed this, they're pushing this Pikmin a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're marketing.
Heavy marketing.
And so I wonder if this is like a, hey.
It is definitely trying to appeal to the
new people.
New people, for sure.
It's trying to be like, hey, this is a game, this is a franchise you may have overlooked. Here's a, like.
Well, a lot of stuff is pointing to that, like the custom character thing.
Yeah,
like that's a big deal, making it more like Splatoon or Animal Crossing, where you're like designing a character at the beginning.
Yeah,
those are like huge franchises that appeal to broad audiences.
I know he also is like, he also adds elements, but I 100% believe that the dog Ochi was just like a,
oh yeah, 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 marketing for sure.
Yeah,
let's put a puppy in there,
let's get a cute dog creature so that people get into it.
So that's another thing that changes the gameplay a lot, is what the Ochi can do.
He can swim.
He can swim. So,
well, you
one thing I
things.
Realized this time playing the game that I didn't realize when I was playing the demo is that Ochi will return to you if he carries an object back to the ship.
Oh, and right, Pikmin
he'll
just
come,
stay at the ship,
Pikmin
right?
will stop at the ship and just stay there, and that's fine. You have to collect them at some point. But Ochi will return, will find you, and there's literally a pop-up like, Ochi returned. Like,
right.
It's like, that's one thing that really changes how I use Ochi, is I will use Ochi for things that I, like, you know, like a small object that's just like a single object. Like, I don't need to expend a Pikmin for this. Like, who cares? I'll send Ochi because I know Ochi's going to come back.
Right.
So
cool. So he does add different elements.
Yeah, and Pikmin can ride on him.
Yeah.
So you can carry him over things. Pikmin over things.
Do you think there's going to be a way to... So if you send Pikmin back and then you send Ochi back, do you think there's going to be a way to, like, Ochi... Because I know you can upgrade him.
Can use Ochi as another captain.
Oh, you can. So he could...
You can control Ochi... And I think you can have Pikmin follow Ochi.
Okay, so you could send him back to
base. You unlock this later, though.
Okay.
It's not from the get-go.
So you could send him...
I got it in the demo. I don't have it.
There's a bunch of Pikmin at base. You could send Ochi back and be like, go get all the Pikmin and bring them back here.
Yeah, because at some point... That's cool. At some point, they put you in the dungeons or whatever, the underground zones.
Yeah.
Where you're split up.
I don't know. It...
I don't think there's more captains.
It feels
this game.
And this is just from watching you play Pikmin 3, because I didn't play it much myself. It feels less strategic than Pikmin 3, because Pikmin 3 had like three captains, and you could be like, okay, what was his name? Alfie? Alf?
Alf, yeah.
Is his name Alf?
It's just Alf.
Alf, okay, you go this way, and then Charlie?
That sounds right. I think it's Charlie, Brittany, and Alf.
It was like, okay, you go this way, you go this way, you go this way. And like,
and they keep moving when you're not paying attention to them.
Yeah, and you were like, it felt like a real-time, even more like a real-time strategy.
Way more. So far, at least. We'll see how much it changes
like,
later.
I wonder if looking back, I think Pikmin 4 is going to do well. I think it's going to review. I haven't actually looked at any reviews. Do you know?
It's doing well. It's got an 88 on Metacritic.
Okay, great. I think it's going to sell well. I think it's going to review well. But I think like Pikmin fans will look back on it and be like, Pikmin 4 was fun. Yeah, it was all right.
I've already seen some like video essay titles that are like why Pikmin 3 was the peak.
Yeah.
You know, like,
which I actually think is fine. Because
yes,
it
no.
feels like
Pikmin 3 still exists too.
It feels like Pikmin 4's role was to onboard new people onto Pikmin. Mm. Whereas Pikmin 3 was more like here's a Pikmin for the Pikmin fans. Which is a fine thing, but Pikmin 4 feels like let's get people into this franchise.
Yeah.
Have you not played a Pikmin game? Please play this one.
Totally. Yeah, another thing that actually changes things quite a bit that I didn't really think about how much it changes when I played the demo is the actual lower view. Like, because they advertise that in their direct and stuff. Like, this time around, the angle of the camera is facing the horizon, whereas previously it was a little over the top.
Yeah.
So you can't see ahead of you, really. Like, you can kind of. But now it's, like, very, very good camera movement. Like, you can look everywhere kind of thing.
I heard you can also, and tell me if this is not as true, but you can basically, when you move the camera up, you can basically make it look like an old Pikmin game.
I don't know. I haven't really done that, but
yeah,
probably.
I heard one person be like,
I don't know why you would.
If you just are like, I like, well, because overtop view is useful. It's like, I can see all around me rather than in front of me.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's
like
the view is up enough that you're not really thinking about
it. Like, if you're in a war zone situation where there's just enemies all around you, you don't want to be just facing forward at an enemy. You'd want to see, okay, there's enemies behind me. Okay, I got to throw guys there and throw them back there because...
Yeah, well, for me, what it's changed is me being more aware of when my Pikmin have finished a task because I can see them from where I'm at. Whereas before, I just had to... Like, they give you notifications and stuff if, like you get I can't remember exactly how they tell you, but you get some prompt when a Pikmin have brought an object back or whatever.
Right.
Like, you know that it's happened, but this time you can, like, see how close they are and how, like, because you have a pretty good distant view. Like, you can tell how...
but that won't be all the case, I'm assuming, because you will get to big enough areas...
Yes, but, like, they make the zones pretty, like, it's pretty easy to see a good distance, and, like...
You've played an hour.
I've played, yeah, no.
I'm saying, like, I'm my guess is later on there's going to be bigger zones where you're just like, oh, okay, well.
But I think they are designing them in a way that you can see pretty far. Like, I think, I don't know if there's going to be a lot other, I think the caves are the, like, confined zones.
Yeah.
And then they're making the overworld this more field like. Like, yeah, there's hills and stuff, but it's not like. I mean, this is probably true for all the games, but, like, it's not these, like, very topographically interesting locations. It's more just low terrain and, like, some hills that go up, but it's very. It's not a lot. Like, it's. It's mostly flat. Game looks good. It's visually awesome.
I'm excited to hear more, Tyron.
Thank you. I will get back to you. I want to. Yeah, I'm excited to. Like, a new first-party Nintendo game is always a good time.
That's true. I'm excited for what they've got coming.
Too. And in this case, it's been 11 years since Pikmin 3.
I didn't think about that. That's a long time. Wow.
Pikmin 3 came out in 2012.
Really? It launched with the Wii U? Or maybe not launched with it, but that's Wii U launch year, no?
I think it's 2011, isn't it? No, maybe it's 2013. Maybe Pikmin 3 is 2013. Either way, it's within the year of the Wii U launch. I think it was the first big Wii U exclusive.
That's not a smart thing for Nintendo to do.
To what?
Do a... Because they... To have one of the first games be a game that's already kind of a Nintendo niche?
Yeah, like, no. The Wii U made a lot of bad decisions. They made a lot of bad decisions
with
the Wii U.
Like, this one makes sense where it's like, okay, everybody and their mom has a Switch.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
And
gangbusters
and so
of them are
available.
People
are looking
available for
a new Switch game to play.
Well, yeah.
Here is a franchise you've probably heard about, but often...
Switch is reviving a lot of franchises. Because, Metroid is the same, right?
Come
on,
let's go F-Zero.
Metroid Dread is the best-selling Metroid game ever. Because the Switch is a phenomenon in which games just sell like crazy. Like, and so Nintendo has way more faith in these, the less made franchises, because they all just do really well. And if they have some name attached to them, they're going to do even better. So, yeah, I'm sure I don't think Pikmin 4 is going to sell crazy, but it's going to sell better for sure.
I mean, I haven't seen, we'll wait like a week to see how it's going, but. I'm assuming it's gonna sell pretty decent.
Yeah, I think so too. But it's not. It's probably gonna. I'm guessing it's gonna do around Metroid. How Metroid did, which is like, you know, a few million, but not like 10 to 20 million, which is what Mario and Zelda are doing.
Yeah, but I don't know. Mario and like to say, oh well, it's not gonna be the next Mario Kart or anything. It's like
yeah. Well, Mario Kart has like 50 million units.
Dude, I watched a video that was just, it went through every single Nintendo franchise, and it had some parameters of like what that means. Like, it has to have a certain amount of games, it has to be going for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then just all he did was basically rank them on like where they are standing. It's either a flagship, it's a...
Oh, I think I sent this to you.
Did you send this to me?
Is this Sock Man?
I don't know. Is this a flagship? Is it doing well? Is it just, it's existing? Is it on its last legs?
If it's the same video, yeah. I remember this.
Or it's like, this one's dead. It's never coming back. It's dead.
Yep.
And somehow, he did not put Mario Kart as a flagship. And I was like, you are an idiot.
That would be the biggest.
It's
well, okay, no, but it was about new game releases. It was that was the parameters, right? Was are they actively making a new one?
Okay, but if you're actively bringing out DLC, I don't know. To me, it was like,
no, I get it. I get it.
This is when I ask what video games have you played to people that haven't played video games, not Mario, Mario Kart.
Yeah, Mario Kart is bigger than Mario, for sure.
Yeah. Like, to say that that's not a flagship, I think is ridiculous.
I think it was just him adhering to his parameters a little too hard. Like, just that, like, they're his... If I remember correctly, I think it was about their probably not working on a new one, at least not anytime soon.
I don't know. It was just so
like
crazy.
Here's
knowing
the thing.
That Mario Kart has sold.
Here's the thing:
so
there has not
well.
Been a new Mario Kart in 8 years. That was probably the reason, or 9, I think, at this point.
That's fair, but Mario Kart Deluxe.
Okay.
It's different.
The other part is that there is a new Mario Kart. It was Mario Kart Tour. It's like as who cares about it? But it was made and released in like 2018 or whatever it was.
Speaking of, I played those new tracks. They're fun.
I haven't played them yet.
They're fun.
Yeah, they're good, right? Vancouver's in there. Cool.
Vancouver's in there. The new one, the squeaky clean thing. You know how Mario... They have different terrains, and they have different traction depending on the terrain. Mm-hmm. And it's usually just, it's a road or it's something slippery.
Sure, yeah.
They have the first ever, at least first that I've noticed, where it's a more traction terrain than a regular road.
Oh, interesting.
So at one point you're driving on, like, bathroom floor, and it's a little bit slippier. But then there's one part where you're driving on a towel.
Oh.
And the towel is like really high traction, so your turns are really sharp.
That's interesting.
And it became like, whoa, this is like I was like, I expect a, oh, we're on tile, it's gonna be slippier.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, these towels have so much traction. You have to really, it's weird. You feel like I'm in more control, but right. I have to focus because I'm expecting my turns to go a certain way, and I'm turning so harshly.
That's interesting.
But yeah, it was a good pack. Even the tour tracks are actually pretty fun. I actually really like the Vancouver one. I think part of it's just because I'm like, what? No way, Rogers Arena?
Well, yeah, you know what was fun about that? It was fun, like, being like...
The steam clocks of Gastown?
Right, and seeing people go like, oh, I like the part where they're in the park. And I'm like, I know that park.
it doesn't look like that in real life, but it's based on it.
Yeah, where it's like, or it's, yeah, just funny... To see people, like, I wonder if this is how people felt about their own cities if they saw it. Like,
it was pretty cool, and it has some details. Like, there's a generic tunnel, like just underground tunnel, and I don't know how. It is a generic tunnel, to be sure. It's not a like, oh yeah, that's the tunnel of this place.
Okay.
And it's amazing how much that feels like, whoa, we're in Vancouver.
Okay, what made it like that?
It's a underground tunnel, and it's got like orangey lights.
All right,
and
I'm
sure there's plenty of other cities that also feel that way.
Like, but you're talking about like when you go under a long tunnel and your maps switches over.
Yeah, and it's got kind of that orangey lights.
Yeah,
totally. It just feels like, whoa, we're in a Vancouver tunnel.
Yeah, there's plenty of those. So yeah, makes sense.
But yeah, they did a really good job with it. But yeah,
that's fun.
It's pretty fun. I've been playing I beat Cuphead.
Cool.
I'm starting the DLC.
Oh, I haven't even played it yet. I haven't bought it.
I bought it because it's $10.
That's great.
I didn't realize how cheap. I was planning to like, all right, I'll give Cuphead a rest because I played a lot of Cuphead, and now I'll put it a rest, and when I want more Cuphead in the future, I'll get the DLC. And then I saw it was $10, and I was like, oh my, yeah, let's, right now.
Awesome.
Insane.
Cuphead's so good. I do want to play that at some point, the DLC.
The first boss I fought was, like, easier than, because I was fighting the final bosses, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was already, like, really intense. Like, they didn't go back to the beginnings of Cuphead. If that makes sense. Like, they didn't go, oh, we're going to do a similar progression where you're fighting really easy bosses and then going to heavier ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's already starting at like, oh, okay, this is a challenge.
Mm. That's good.
But yeah, but they're pretty fun. I'm also playing the newest game from Horberg Productions.
I don't know what that is.
You will. Gunman Clive 1 and
oh,
2.
Oh, okay.
They came out with a new game called Onion Assault.
Great.
Which is a Mario 2-esque game.
Okay.
Your main mechanic is jumping on top of things and then lifting them up.
Hmm.
And it is not as fun as Gunman Clive.
Oh.
I'm actually really...
Is there onions? Is it like those are the turnips?
Those are the turnips. Okay. So there's little flowers and you pull them up and they're onions.
Are there asymmetric characters?
Nope.
Oh, that's too bad.
It is. It actually kind of upsets me because I think Gunman Clive 1 and 2 are great games. Like, I think they're actually very underappreciated platformers.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, so 1 has a very cool, like, oh, you've got this cool art style.
Mm.
And, like, it maybe not the best platformer, but it's got some cool music and whatever. And then the second one goes buck wild, where the first cutscene of that game is a giant mech destroys the cowboy town, and then you go and like fight a T-Rex.
Awesome.
The second game goes nuts. And then they made Mextermination Force, which, have you even heard of that game?
Mm-mm.
This game, I am so upset that not everybody knows about it. It is, think Cuphead.
I'm thinking.
Or like Contra, that kind of.
Okay.
Like
run and gun.
Run and gun, bullet hell-y thing. But more Cuphead in the sense that it is all boss battles.
Okay.
Okay. But add Shadow of the Colossus into it.
All right.
Because you climb up the mech bosses and you have to hit them using your one melee attack into their, like.
Oh, yeah. Very Shadow of the Colossus.
It is so, so
good. Do you feel
good.
Guilty after?
No, this one you
feel. Oh, okay. You feel good.
They're robots. But they're so, it's so good. I genuinely think it's the best game they've made. And then the games that have come after it have been like lackluster, but I've been buying them because I'm like, guys, you have my respect, and they're never that expensive. And I just want that company to keep going. Cause I think they have cool ideas.
Sweet, man.
Other than that, that's what I've been playing.
Mm-hmm.
Been and I went back to Mario and Rabbids,
the first one.
Yeah, because I never beat it. I was always stuck on one boss, and I just realized that I was an idiot and fighting that boss.
Which boss?
The ice boss.
The ice boss.
He's like a really early boss.
I don't even remember the ice boss.
He's just a big frozen, like abominable snowman kind of boss.
Okay. Okay. Kind of rings a bell.
For whatever reason, I did not fight his minions who were healing him. And so I was just fighting the main boss and because I think I assumed that his minions would respawn. And the most recent time I played it, I was just like, I'm going to just take out the minions, and they never respawn.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically I was just the times I failed at this boss, I was in an endless battle because he was just getting healed by his minions. And I was like, oh, jeez. All right. Well, keep fighting. I would die.
Interesting.
And then finally I beat him. And then I went, and now I'm in the like ghost world.
Mm.
And I'm having a blast.
Oh, man. Do you know that boss?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
but
what a boss. Get excited.
But my wife doesn't. And we're playing it together. And she's like, oh, I wonder what the boss.
Does she listen to this?
No, she hates me.
Okay, the opera boss is so amazing. I'm sure you've seen the video of him. It's so good. So the boss of the ghost world in that game is a Phantom of the Opera type ghost rabbit, and he sings these operatic songs about Mario and the nature of Mario and like how he's like. How he sucks. It's like a diss track for Mario in opera.
Dude, we just... That game is so wacky.
Yeah.
Like, so wacky. We finally got to the Valkyries, a class of enemy, and they shoot machine guns out of their boobs. Like, what? Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Look it up. Like, look up the cutscene that reveals
them. Are they rabbits?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So they're Valkyrie, but they have...
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
So they're dressed up like Norse, like, Valkyrie armored things.
Like, they're boob plates.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But, like, their, like, slogan, it said, like, when it did their little like intro card, it showed like Valkyries and it said double barreled baddies because they're shooting two machine guns out of their boobs.
That's funny.
That game is so wacky.
That's before
and silly.
Baddies was a thing, right?
Yeah, it meant bad guys.
Yeah,
but even like the like your main helper guy Beepo is like they're
Beepo.
He's like those guys are interesting, like getting all awkward. So it's clearly
that's funny.
I
are there female rabbits? Like do they imply that they're all just male and female and they don't?
It's like minions, yeah, where like
where they can be female,
yeah, where if they're in a wig they're female and if they're not in a wig they're default male, like
yeah,
like you'll see it by Rabbit Peach. Like Rabbit Peach is a girl, but just because she's dressed like a girl, and Rabbit Mario is all like, oh, I'm like Rabbit Mario acts like real, like, haha, yes, me, right. I'm here. here to help you because he has a mustache on.
Is the implication in that game that, like, the rabbit, like, they, this fusion of worlds created these rabid versions of these characters, or did they just put on an outfit and become the characters they are?
It seems like they, either one of those is a valid thing.
Because I had, I almost thought, like,
because if they were
just,
actually
they
fused,
just ended up with a costume and embodied that costume.
Because if they were actually fused, Mario wouldn't exist anymore.
That, yeah, that was my thinking, is, yeah, like, Mario is still there. Yeah. They didn't make a rabid Mario by combining a Mario and a rabbit. Because there are examples in the game of fusions between a rabbit and something else.
Yeah, and then the other thing disappears.
Yeah.
And they become the other thing. But, yeah, that game, I also realized Ubisoft is a bad company.
What does that mean?
'Cause, so, the gameplay itself is decently polished.
Yeah.
Somehow
it's a little janky, though.
Somehow the cutscenes and animation and stuff, yeah, it's always so janky when it, like, goes from a cutscene to gameplay or gameplay to cutscene.
I think it was a quick development. Like, I think they made that game pretty quickly.
But I, yeah, but so Ubisoft does that for, like, every game. I just don't understand.
I think they probably spent a long time on the sequel.
Did they?
It looked much more cleaner and,
yeah,
better.
But designed. Also, they do this thing where every once in a while, if you're, like, giving your buddy a boost, you can, like, give your buddy a boost and he gets extra movement, but you, like, launch him into the air, mm-hmm, right? Sometimes it zooms in and gives it, like, a cinematic angle. I have never seen it once do that where I thought it was appropriate. I've, like, jumped over giant chasms using this ability and it didn't do anything, and then I've jumped 3 spaces to the left just because, like, the jump was the strategic advantageous thing to do because, mm-hmm, it also gave me, like, a boost or something, and it decides to do a zoom in cinematic angle at that point, and the camera's just, like, clipping through blocks and,
yeah,
stuff,
yeah, yeah,
and it's like, why?
I encountered a repeatable game crash that,
oh, did you?
I knew what triggered it, and I did it a few times because I had to learn what it was that was happening.
That's funny.
So it was an early, like, challenge.
Am I past it?
Probably. It's one of the early
it's
worlds.
It's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
I haven't done many of those, so maybe I haven't.
I think it is. It's not. Sorry, it's not. It's not the, like, overworld challenge. It's just within. There's optional fights that you don't have to do in the worlds, like. And I actually learned playing the game through when I played the DLC that there's way more, like, secret locations than I realized. Like, it's very linear, but there's some, like, actual secrets that you're like, oh, like, I didn't know there was, like, this second map in the first world that I didn't, like, whoa, it's not huge, like, but it's, like, this whole section that, like, if you just played that game through, you wouldn't, it's pretty unlikely that you'd find it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a few of those, and it's not, like, crazy, but, like, there's more to it than I thought. Anyways, some challenge that I had to do, it was just a normal fight with, like, I think it was two of those, like, slammer guys that slam a
giant rock or whatever.
And
from world to world.
So I did a thing that was the wrong thing to do. Like, it's not the way to beat the challenge, but it wasn't like some wild, like, why did you go to the corner of the map and shoot far away from the distance? It was like, I shot an enemy that can't reach me because there's a barrier or you can't get over it without jumping or whatever.
Yeah.
Shot the enemy, walks toward me, game crashes. Didn't think anything of it when it happened the first time, so I started the game up again, do the same thing, and it crashes. And so I did it a third time just to make sure this is definitively what's,
yeah,
happening. So it was just that I wasn't doing it correctly.
So
they didn't do that in their test, clearly. Like, they didn't do what I did when they tested this game, or none of the testers did. Because it wasn't this crazy, like, out of this world thing. It was just attacking an enemy so that it walks towards you, but it can't reach you. Which, normally, that doesn't do anything. They just stop at the wall.
Yeah.
But
this
as soon as it started walking and stopped, it crashed.
Interesting.
It was really weird, and like the most like I've never seen this like breakable of a glitch in a, especially it's not a Nintendo game, but it's essentially a Nintendo game, like with Nintendo's eye over it.
Yeah. But anyway, that game was fun.
It's great.
They really, to the best of their ability, and it actually sounds like they did it even more in the second one, tried to fuse a platformer with a tactics game.
Totally. Yep.
Where it's a tactics
game. It's very reminiscent of how the Mario RPGs intertwine Mario's vibe with an RPG. Where like,
yeah, I don't know. I feel like this one does it even better, because I do feel like you can jump, you can get a boost from your partner and then jump on top of an enemy.
Right.
You can dash through and punch an enemy on your way to traveling to somewhere else.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
The like status effects are wacky, where you can like bounce someone.
For me, the Mario RPGs are inspired by like Donkey Kong Mario. You know what I mean? Like with hammers and like awkwardish jumps. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's almost what it feels like, as they took the first Mario ever and made an RPG out of
it. Well, I'm actually... We'll see with the Super Mario RPG what they do with the, like, platform... Because there is legit platforming sections in the Super Mario RPG, like the original RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if they just left it as is and just really did, like, a one-to-one remake.
Based on footage, I think it's pretty much the same thing.
Okay. I don't think that's the best idea, because the platforming sections are pretty janky.
Yeah, they should have made them floatier.
Platforming in isometric doesn't work so good.
No, it'll be better with the graphics.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be a little better because of how it looks.
I'm assuming my
guess... Because it's really weird trying to jump in 3D with 2D assets. Like, it's very awkward.
Yeah, it is weird. Because I remember, I think... There's a Sonic game. Is it like Sonic 3D Blast? Blast? Yeah. Yeah. That one felt weird too.
Yeah.
I beat Toe Jam and Earl.
The original?
The original.
Great.
I'm a gamer, Tyron.
That's awesome, dude.
Me and my friend.
Do they say cool things?
They say jamming.
They say jamming.
So there's a level up system in that game.
Yeah.
And like every level up, it just says at the bottom, it says like Toe Jam is, and then whatever like level you are, but it doesn't say like Toe Jam is level one. It says like Toe Jam is a nerd, and then it's like Toe Jam is a doofus, and then as you level up, it's like Toe Jam is a bro. And then the last one, or the one that we got to and then beat the game, I don't know if you can level up higher before you beat the game, is Toe Jam is a homie.
And
so
nice.
So Earl and Toe Jam were both homies when we, so when we beat it. But that game is wild. That's the most roguelike. which is weird, because it's definitely not. Like, when you think of roguelike, you don't want that.
Because
your movement is slow and it's just like wandering around. But the fact that the levels are randomly generated, the enemies are randomly generated, and the items are randomly generated in that you don't even know what an item does until you use it.
Right.
Is wild.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've been playing some wacky games.
That's great, man. Wacky games are wacky.
I beat Wrist Star. I don't know if I said that last time.
No. We talked about Wrist Star 2 after the podcast
ended. Because right, Wrist Star 2 is such an amazing game. But I beat Wrist Star, and it's a great game, but it's also one of those, you know, those old games where you're like, how were you meant to beat this?
Right.
So the last boss just teleports right above me and then instantly attacks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I love that. Like the kind of... things where it's still kind of in the transition from arcade to console, where the game is just trying to kill you cheaply.
Right.
It's just like, but yeah, that's our video game and fast food podcast.
That's right. I think we talked more about fast food and ice cream than video games.
I think we did, but you know what?
That's okay.
That's okay.
Bye.
Yeah, bye. I'm Trice, by the way.
I'm tired. We're brothers.
And this has been Soup Box. I give this episode a cream of mushroom.
A cream of mushroom out of three.
Yeah, okay, bye.
Bye.